Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, August 2nd, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Tensions escalate between the U.S. and China as Nancy Pelosi heads to Taiwan.
Stocks drop around the world on the news. Team coverage is straight ahead.
A top Al-Qaeda leader is killed in a U.S. drone strike.
And another blowout earnings report by Big Oil. This time, it's BP.
New York City, along with California, have declared a state of emergency because of monkeypox cases, plus its primary day in five states. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another Aaron Judge home run and a Yankees win. Seventh straight win for the Mets. Jacob DeGrom pitches tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 27 points. Dow futures down 155, and NASDAQ futures down 105. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 2.54%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.85%. Nathan.
Karen, we'll have more on markets in a minute, but first, a major announcement from the White House. President Biden says a U.S. drone strike in Afghanistan has killed one of the planners of the 9/11 attacks. Ayman al-Zawahiri was the leader of al-Qaeda.
No matter how long it takes, no matter where you hide, if you are a threat to our people, the United States will find you and take you out.
A senior administration official tells us the drone strike had been planned for weeks and there were no civilian casualties.
Well, Nathan, the strike comes about a year after the fall of Kabul to the Taliban and the U.S. military's hasty withdrawal from Afghanistan. Lester Munson, principal at the government relations firm BGR Group, says it's important to look at the attack from that context.
What else is happening in Afghanistan? What are the other consequences of our withdrawal? Yeah. This is one event. It may be a very significant one, but we do need to kind of put it in the constellation of all of the other information that we have.
Lester Munson with BGR Group spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, another major story we're following at this hour, Karen, is U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi expected in Taiwan later this morning, defying Chinese threats of military action. We get more from Bloomberg's Bruce Einhorn in Hong Kong.
She has a long history going back to, you know, the early days of her career as a China hawk. She has a long record supporting human rights issues related to China. She's met with the Dalai Lama. She's met with Joshua Wong, the pro-democracy activist from Hong Kong. She's met with ethnic Uyghurs from Xinjiang. So this is just in keeping with the long history of Nancy Pelosi's position when it comes to highlighting human rights issues, democracy issues related to China.
Bloomberg's Bruce Einhorn says Pelosi's trip would make her the highest-ranking American politician to visit Taiwan in 25 years.
Well, Nathan, the escalating tension between the U.S. and China is impacting markets this morning. U.S. futures are lower and Asian stocks fell overnight. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. China's CSI 300 extended its July losses and is now down around 9% from its June peak, moving closer towards a correction. Taiwanese stocks also came under pressure while the Taiwan dollar fell to a May 2020 low against the greenback. Investors flocked to safe havens with the yen rising against the dollar for a fifth session, its longest winning streak since April 2021. And Australian bonds rose while the Aussie dropped as the RBA became slightly less hawkish while still delivering another 50 basis points. Point hike. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. In Europe this morning, shares of BP are up more than 3.5%. The oil giant's second quarter adjusted net income was the highest since 2008. We get more from Bloomberg Intelligence senior energy analyst Will Hares.
This is a very big beat from BP in 2Q, $8.5 billion in adjusted earnings. This is roughly more than $2 billion than the street consensus had estimated. A big driver here has been the oil trading division, which is not broken out by BP. The company cited they had exceptional oil trading returns, capturing value from some of that historic volatility we have seen.
Will Hares with Bloomberg Intelligence says BP also increased its dividend and accelerated share buybacks.
Well, back here in the U.S., Nathan, shares of Pinterest are surging more than 19%. That's after Elliott Investment Management confirmed its stake as the company's top shareholder. And we get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Elliott says it approves of the company's leadership. Sales at Pinterest increased 9% to $665.9 million in the second quarter. Pinterest said it had 433 million monthly active users at the end of the period on June 30th, about the same as in the previous quarter, but a 5% decline from a year earlier. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And the earnings continue today with more than 40 companies reporting. Uber Technology reports this afternoon. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
Investors will focus on two things from the second quarter results out today: signs of how a shortage of drivers may have impacted its ride-hailing business, and how much its food delivery unit, Uber Eats, may have suffered from rising food costs. Bloomberg Consensus calls for revenue of $7.39 billion at a loss of 25 cents per share. Total loss is forecast to be around $495 million. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. Well, another corporate news this morning. The legal moves are heating up in Twitter's case against Elon Musk. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Twitter is probing the social circle of Elon Musk. Lawyers are making far-reaching legal requests about his $44 billion deal to take Twitter private. That's according to legal documents obtained by the Washington Post. Now, Twitter's legal team asked for information about Silicon Valley elite investors, including David Sachs and Mark Andreessen. And since some of the heavy hitters have not been named in the deal publicly, it suggests just how far Twitter is willing to go to force Elon Musk to honor the deal. Now, Twitter is also probing Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, and other banks that committed to backing the acquisition. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. S&P futures now down 25 points. Dow futures down 145. NASDAQ futures are lower by 99 points. The 10-year Treasury is up for 30 seconds. Yield 2.55%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.85%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. At 5:07 on Wall Street, we're at 72 degrees in Central Park. We got an overturned tractor trailer northbound New Jersey Turnpike exit 7A. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City has declared a state of emergency as monkeypox cases continue to rise. A reporter asked Mayor Adams if the city has, quote, dropped the ball on its response. Adams says it has done the best it could with the tools it had.
We were receiving less than we deserved in vaccines. We advocated. We utilized our direct communication with the White House to get more.
About a quarter of all monkeypox cases in the United States are in New York City. An estimated 150,000 New Yorkers are at risk of monkeypox exposure. California has declared a state of emergency to deal with the outbreak of monkeypox. More in this live report from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
Michael, Governor Gavin Newsom made the declaration to bolster the state's vaccine efforts. It makes California the second state in 3 days to take the step. Nearly 800 cases have been reported in the state. He says California will continue to work with the federal government to secure more vaccines, raise awareness about reducing risk, and stand with the LGBT community fighting stigmatization. This move does come after the similar declaration in New York State Saturday and in San Francisco Thursday. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you, sir. It's primary day in 5 states. In Arizona, voters are choosing between candidates who say they wouldn't have certified the results of the 2020 campaign and those who argue it is time to move on. Other closely watched contests include races for Michigan's governor and Missouri senator. Voters in Kansas will be the first to decide on abortion rights since the U.S. Supreme Court revoked Roe v. Wade. Washington State also holds primaries. The Ukrainian troops have made inroads into the Russian defenses and used U.S.-supplied rocket launchers to strike bridges and military infrastructure in the south. Moscow is diverting its forces from the Donbas region to counter the new threat. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
All right, good morning, Nathan. It's been such a great baseball season in New York through 4 months, and both teams began August with victories. The Yankees 7-2 for the Mets 7-3. In Washington, they stretched their winning streak to 7 the night after 19 hits. 13 more, 4 by Brandon Nimmo, home runs for Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor to back Max Scherzer, who beat his old team, improved to 7-2. Mets fans have dreamt about the 1-2 punch of Scherzer and Jacob deGrom, and the night after Scherzer, it's deGrom making his long-anticipated season debut.
Definitely excited. You know, like you said, it's been a long time. You know, this has been a pretty slow process of coming back, so excited to be out there. Nerves haven't really set in yet, but you know, I'm sure Tuesday I'll be pretty nervous, and I have a feeling it's going to feel like my debut.
Meanwhile, at the stadium, familiar script for the Yankees. 4 home runs. Anthony Rizzo, 3-run homer before the Mariners recorded their first out, his 26th. And one inning later, sure enough, Aaron Judge, his 42nd. Jose Trevino added 2 solo shots. Domingo Herman got his first win, but he may be losing his spot in the rotation because the Yankees, before today's trade deadline, acquired Frankie Montas from Oakland. They also got reliever Lou Trevino. They acquired another reliever, Scott Efros, from the Cubs. The arbitrator hired to rule on Deshaun Watson gave him a 6-game suspension for his sexual misconduct with masseuses. But under terms of the labor deal, the NFL, who wanted a longer suspension, can appeal basically to themselves and then add more games. And that could lead to a lawsuit by the union, so the Watson story likely not over yet. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thank you. S&P futures again down 26 points. Dow futures down 142. NASDAQ futures lower by 100 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 4.30 seconds. Yield 2.55%. Yield on the 2-year 2.85%. NYMEX crude lower by 0.33% or 31 cents at $93.60 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up 2.40 at $17.89.90 an ounce. The euro 1.0241 against the dollar. The yen 130.98. Bitcoin down 1.4%, $22,800. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Chance for a shower, thunder shower today with a high near 90 degrees. Sunny near 90 tomorrow. Sunny, hot, humid for Thursday with highs near 95. Right now, 72 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and U.S. stock index futures are falling amid escalating U.S.-China tension over Taiwan and deepening worries about a global economic slowdown, driving investors into the safety of government bonds. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 24 points, Dow futures down 133, NASDAQ futures down 94, the DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 2.55%, the yield on the 2-year, 2.85%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.2% or 18 cents at $93.71 a barrel. COMEX gold is up about 0.2% or $2.70 at $17.90.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0241 against the dollar, British pound 1.2205, and the yen 130.95. And Bitcoin is down 1.25%. At $22,840. Today we are watching for the Jolts jobs report at a 10 o'clock Wall Street time. Caterpillar, Starbucks, and Uber are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Joe Biden has announced that Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri was killed in a U.S. drone strike in Kabul. During an evening address, Biden is hailing the operation as delivering justice while expressing hope that it brings one more measure of closure to the families of the victims of the 9/11 attacks. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is expected to land in Taiwan in defiance of Chinese threats. The trip today would make Pelosi the highest-ranking American politician to visit the island in 25 years. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Mariners 7-2. The Mets beat the Nationals 7-3. The Red Sox and Orioles were also winners. The Giants lost to the Dodgers 8-2. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5. 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on a morning where geopolitics has been more in focus for markets than we've seen in quite some time. Let's bring in Joe Matthew this morning, Bloomberg Washington correspondent, host of Sound On weekdays at 5 Eastern here on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, good morning. Let's start off with the breaking news that we got last night from President Biden that Ayman al-Zawahiri is now off the battlefield. Do we have any more information about the strike that took him out?
Well, we know it was a drone strike. A couple of missiles, rockets, were sent down to the balcony, apparently, where he was standing. He stepped outside, I guess, to get some fresh air, and those were the last breaths he took. What we don't know is where the intelligence came from, and this is something that we're very curious about because of the debate following our withdrawal from Afghanistan over what we call over-the-horizon missions. This is, you know, the idea of sending drones in without having boots on the ground, without having troops there or intelligence personnel there that we can, from our satellites and technology, be able to respond to threats against the United States. There were a lot of doubts about that, a lot of criticism of the administration upon the time of our withdrawal. And it was an opportunity last night for the White House, for Joe Biden, to show that it actually worked. And pretty remarkable to see him standing out on that balcony, Nathan, because we have to remember he still technically has COVID.
Right.
It made for a very pretty picture as he spoke to Americans last night, but it also reminded us what he's dealing with personally.
Yeah, and it also reminded us, as you allude to, of the hasty withdrawal from Afghanistan. And as you mentioned, that idea that the U.S. could still have a footprint and do those kinds of over-the-horizon attacks was a big part of the rationale
Yes.
for what has become a very unpopular decision by the president to move troops out after the Taliban took over Kabul. Is the White House sort of looking for some vindication here by actually showing that the leader of al-Qaeda was taken out?
Well, sure. I mean, look, like I said, it's an opportunity to respond to that criticism, which is now basically a year old. And I don't think that the public sentiment was against removing troops. It was the style in which it happened. It was the way that things did not appear to be planned, the way it was conducted, and, of course, the deaths of 13 Marines. But remember, with regard to drone strikes, they remain controversial. And it was about a year ago that we killed 10 civilians and had to apologize for that in what we thought was a counter-terror strike. So, yes, this is an opportunity for the White House to say this type of mission can work.
And obviously the other big source of tension this morning is the possibility that House Speaker Pelosi is going to arrive in Taiwan within hours. What's the latest there?
We spoke with John Kirby yesterday, who speaks for the National Security Council at the White House, and his messaging was very deliberate. There's a precedent for this trip. Speakers of the House have gone before, albeit it's been about a quarter century, and that the White House, that the United States as a nation, is making no change in policy towards China or the One China policy or Taiwan. This is status quo, and it is, in fact, Beijing that has been cranking up the rhetoric here. The White House, as you know, did not prefer this to happen. Joe Biden said 2 weeks ago the military didn't think it was a good idea, but the White House can't tell the speaker what to do. On the other hand, the White House has to provide, or at least the administration as a whole, vis-a-vis the Pentagon, must provide the transportation and security for her. She's going to be flying in on an Air Force jet. So to suggest as well that the White House is watching this on the news with the rest of us is not very accurate. This is going to take both sides of Pennsylvania Avenue.
In our last minute here, Joe, we've gotten even more response from China. There was a briefing earlier
Yes.
this morning vowing resolute measures if Pelosi
Yeah.
does visit Taiwan. We've had a ratcheting up of rhetoric here. What is the U.S. preparing for in terms of perhaps something more than just rhetoric getting ratcheted up?
Yeah, it's been pretty hot. And they did name Pelosi in that briefing this morning. John Kirby told us yesterday some of the things that they're concerned about, maybe another missile test, lob a couple of missiles into the ocean near Taiwan, which actually happened last time we sent a high-ranking official there. Maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe we have a large-scale incursion into Taiwan's airspace. That would be something. We're typically testing those lines, but to have a number of jets, maybe a squadron from China fly over there, if not over the island itself, would be considered a very bold move. Keep in mind, the Pentagon is going to be flying escorts with Nancy Pelosi to make sure she gets in and out safely. And the chance for a mistake, the possibility of an error, is what could be the biggest risk today.
And we'll have much more from that interview that you did with National Security Council spokesman John Kirby coming up here in about a half hour here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Joe Matthew, our Washington correspondent, host of Sound On. You can catch him every weekday evening, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Bloomberg Radio. And Joe will be back with us later on in this program on Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue to follow developments with House Speaker Pelosi expected to arrive in Taiwan within hours. Ahead of that, futures are moving lower. We have S&P futures down 26 points, Dow futures down 147, NASDAQ futures lower by 101 points. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by PPAC Private Wealth Management. PPAC Private Wealth Management knows that a portfolio is more than a collection of assets. It's a path to your future. Visit PPACPrivate.com. Begin your financial legacy today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Politics front and center this morning. We begin with President Biden's address to the nation last night. The president said a U.S. drone strike in Afghanistan has killed one of the planners of the 9/11 attacks. Ayman al-Zawahiri was the leader of al-Qaeda. President Biden thanked experts and operatives who brought justice to al-Zawahiri.
It is thanks to their extraordinary persistence and skill that this operation was a success. They made us all safer.
President Biden said he authorized the strike and that there were no civilian casualties.
Well, another major story we're following this morning, Karen, is Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. China is threatening military action over the visit, but the House Speaker should make the trip safely. That's according to U.S. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
We have indications that the Chinese might take some actions in a military way to protest a trip by the speaker. What I wanted to make clear today was that we are going to make sure that if the speaker decides to go to Taiwan, she can do so safely.
John Kirby with the National Security Council spoke with our Washington correspondent, Joe Matthew. Stay tuned for more of that interview coming up shortly. The escalating tension between the U.S. and China is impacting markets. Futures are lower and Asian stocks fell overnight.
Well, turning to corporate news now, Nathan, legal moves are heating up in Twitter's case against Elon Musk. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the latest. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Twitter is probing the social circle of Elon Musk. Lawyers are making far-reaching legal requests about his $44 billion deal to take Twitter private. That's according to legal documents obtained by the Washington Post. Now, Twitter's legal team asked for information about elite Silicon Valley investors like David Sachs and Mark Andreessen. And since some of the heavy hitters have not been named publicly in the deal, it suggests just how far Twitter is willing to go to force Elon Musk to honor the deal. Twitter is also probing Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, and other banks that committed to backing the acquisition. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. More than 40 companies report earnings today, including Uber and Starbucks. Pinterest shares are surging 19% despite results that missed estimates. The jump followed Elliott Investment Management confirming its stake as the company's top shareholder.
And again, Nathan, futures are lower. S&P futures down 29 points. Dow futures down 166. And NASDAQ futures down 110. 10-year Treasury up 6.30 seconds, yield 2.54%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 71 degrees in Central Park. Overturned tractor trailer on the New Jersey Turnpike near exit 7A. And Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Nathan, thank you very much. New York City Mayor Eric Adams defended his city's response to monkeypox as cases rise. Adams declared a state of emergency over the virus. When asked whether the city, quote, dropped the ball in its response, Adams says the city is simultaneously dealing with multiple issues.
We're moving together of still getting people vaccinated for COVID and still dealing with the monkeypox that's coming in.
Meanwhile, California's governor has declared a state of emergency to combat the monkeypox outbreak. More in this live report from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Michael, nearly 800 cases of monkeypox have been reported in California. People getting sick so far have mainly been men who have sex with men, though health officials note the virus can infect anyone. The emergency declaration in California comes after the similar one in New York State on Saturday and in San Francisco Thursday. San Francisco city officials have said the federal government has failed to deliver enough vaccines. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you, sir. It is primary election day today in five states. In Kansas, abortion is on the ballot, with voters deciding whether residents should continue to have the right to an abortion under the state constitution. Pro-choice canvasser Jackie Clapper.
Whatever your views are on whether you believe restrictions or no restrictions or whatever, it's just women should be able to make that choice for themselves.
However, this man supports amending the Constitution, taking away the right to an abortion.
This isn't about abortion. It is about, do we want decisions made by a board of liberal judges with no input from the citizens of the state of Kansas?
Michigan, Arizona, Missouri, and Washington State also hold primaries. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street, John Stashar has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, a lot of happy Mets fans. A seven-game winning streak up, and Jacob deGrom on the mound tonight. Mets in Washington led 4-3, put the game away, sixth inning.
2-0. There's a drive in the air, deep to left center. This one's got legs. It might go, and it's gone. Into the Mets bullpen in left center field. A three-run homer to the opposite field, hit by Francisco Lindor. It's his 18th home run of the year. He has now driven in 73 runs.
WCBS to call, 7-3 the final. Max Scherzer got the win. Patrick Corbin took the loss, his 15th loss of the season. And now it's DeGrom, baseball's best pitcher, but so often injured. His first Mets start in more than a year. Juan Soto homered off Scherzer in what may have been his last game with the Nationals. Trade deadline, 6 o'clock. Yankees busy the day before. They acquired three pitchers. A starter, Frankie Montas. He comes from Oakland with reliever Lou Trevino. And they also added reliever Scott Efros from the Cubs. Yanks then beat Seattle 7-2 at the stadium. Second three-run homer in as many days for Anthony Rizzo. Came first inning, his 26th. Inning later, two-run shot from Aaron Judge. Continues his torrid pace, his 43rd homer. Two solo shots for Jose Trevino. The Astros trying to catch the Yankees. They lost to the Red Sox. Houston acquired catcher Christian Vasquez from Boston and first baseman Trey Mancini from Baltimore. NBA is investigating whether the Knicks tampered in their signing of free agent Jalen Brunson. Arizona QB Kyler Murray, Seattle coach Pete Carroll, both tested positive for COVID. And Greg Norman, who runs the LIV Tour, says they offered Tiger Woods about $750 million. And he said no. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Wow. Thank you, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
American Dream, the mall and entertainment complex in New Jersey's Meadowlands, has failed to make an interest payment that was due Monday on municipal bonds sold to help finance the venture. An $8.8 million payment was due, according to a regulatory filing. Bally's has become an official sports betting partner with the Yankees. Marketing benefits for Bally's inside Yankees Stadium include advertising on the outfield wall that lines the playing field, field-facing walls on the main level bars in left and right field, the terrace-level ribbon board and LED board throughout the Great Hall. The New York State Retirement System saw 9.5% annual return during the fiscal year ending in March, surpassing its long-term investment target. The gains came before the worst of this year's stock market slide. They increased the value of the fund's assets to $272 billion. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about a post-pandemic slowdown at game maker Activision Blizzard.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. 13% of consumers spent more than they earned in the last 6 months.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, we're watching for earnings from Caterpillar.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on bumper results for BP, whose quarterly profits came in $1.7 billion higher than expected.
I'm Ed Khoury on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting 23 small manufacturers in Michigan have been awarded grants to help them adopt new technologies.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. After months of debate, the $280 billion CHIPS and Science Act passed both chambers of Congress last week. Some aspects of the bill should be uncontroversial. Its proposal to boost funding for the National Science Foundation, for instance. Yet the bill also devotes an astonishing amount, some $52 billion, to propping up the U.S. semiconductor manufacturing industry. It's all too easy to imagine government-dependent chipmakers demanding yet more handouts a decade down the line. Congress can head off this threat with some pro-competitive reforms, including expanding free trade deals and scrapping tariffs. Beyond that, lawmakers must be mindful about how all this new cash is being spent and ensure that a one-time splurge doesn't turn into a permanent subsidy. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N go. Futures moving lower. S&P futures down 28 points. Dow futures down 157. NASDAQ futures are lower by 108 points. 10-year Treasury yield 2.54%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine, but can't rule out a shower or thunder shower with a high near 90 degrees. Mostly sunny near 90 tomorrow. Mid-90s, sunny, hot, humid for Thursday. Right now, 71 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and U.S. stock index futures are falling amid escalating U.S.-China tension over Taiwan and deepening worries about a global economic slowdown driving investors into the safety of government bonds. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 26 points, Dow futures down 144, and NASDAQ futures down 104. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds, yield 2.54%. The yield on the 2-year is at 2.85%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 43 cents at $93.46 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $3.50 at $17.91.30 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Biden says that a U.S. airstrike killed Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri in a drone strike. The White House says the Al-Qaeda leader was essentially provided safe harbor in downtown Kabul by senior leaders of the Taliban network. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi continues her Asia trip, and it appears she will make a controversial stop in Taiwan. China warns that it would never sit idly by if Pelosi goes through with a visit to Taiwan, which China claims as its own. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Mariners 7-2. Seven straight wins for the Mets after beating the Nationals 7-3. The Red Sox and Orioles were also winners. The Giants lost to the Dodgers 8-2. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's almost 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager. The White House is seeking to dial back rising tensions with China over House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's expected visit to Taiwan. The trip would make Pelosi the highest-ranked highest-ranking U.S. official to set foot on the island in 25 years. Ahead of the visit, Bloomberg's Joe Matthew, Caroline Hyde, and Taylor Riggs spoke with U.S. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby. He insists Pelosi's travel plans do not signal a change in the U.S. posture toward Taiwan, and he urged Beijing to refrain from an aggressive response. Here is part of that interview.
You made clear that Speaker Pelosi has precedent for this trip and that there has been no change in U.S.-China policy. Why then did President Biden suggest a couple of weeks ago that the U.S. military thought this might be a bad time for her to go?
I think the president was answering a question he got from a reporter that surrounded the context of the kinds of information we give to Speaker Pelosi before she travels. We met with her staff and with her at various levels before she made this trip to make sure that she could make the best decisions on her own, that she had all the information and context she needed, and the president was referencing that. But it is up to the speaker. She gets to decide what her travel itinerary looks like. The president respects that.
You mentioned the fact that there were live fire exercises conducted by China last night, and you said that the country is positioning itself to potentially take further steps in the coming days. I spoke earlier, Admiral, today with Defense Secretary Mark Esper, who suggested that the USS Ronald Reagan was sent to the region in case Speaker Pelosi did visit Taiwan. Is that accurate?
No. Ronald Reagan is already forward deployed to the region. Her activities in the South China Sea were long planned. We keep a vigilant posture in the Indo-Pacific because we need to. But it was not related to any potential visit by Speaker Pelosi.
We know, of course, that you've just said that the United States has no interest in increasing tensions over Taiwan. But this does increase tensions. And what, therefore, do you have to do about it?
I would let the Chinese speak for the degree to which they feel this is increasing tensions. I would just remind that a Speaker of the House has gone before in the mid-90s.
25 years ago, though, Admiral.
Members of Congress routinely go to Taiwan, as is their right. This doesn't, if she goes, and I'm not confirming whether she will or not, it's not going to violate any sovereignty issues. It's not going to violate territorial integrity, as the Chinese spokesman alluded to. It will simply be a move in keeping very consistent with American policy now for decades. Nothing's changed about our adherence to the One China policy, and nothing has changed about our commitments to helping Taiwan's self-defense under the Taiwan Relations Act. And the speaker's trip is in the context of that very stable, very solid, very consistent American policy.
How do you, from a national security perspective, prepare if China follows through with what they've said of there will be consequences to this?
I'm not going to speculate here or hypothesize, and I'm certainly not going to say anything that gets ahead of where we are right now. What we said today was we're watching this very, very closely, and we have indications that the Chinese might take some actions in a military way to protest a trip by the speaker. They can talk about what they want to do. What I wanted to make clear today was that we are going to make sure that if the speaker decides to go to Taiwan, she can do so safely and securely. And number two, that we are able and continue to able to meet our ample security commitments in the region, the responsibilities that we have. The president takes that very, very seriously. But look, there's no reason for this to come to blows. There's no reason for this to erupt into some sort of conflict. There's no reason for the Chinese to use a potential visit by the Speaker of House as some sort of pretext to escalate tensions higher than they already are. And I would remind you that in recent days and weeks, it is the Chinese side that has, through their rhetoric and their activities, including this live fire exercise, the ones that are escalating the tensions.
Admiral Kirby, you've referred a few times, as you did in the briefing today, about consultations that the administration had with Speaker Pelosi's office. Did you discuss any sort of overt actions or news conferences or any activities that she might be reluctant to conduct while there so as to not inflame tensions?
Our job is to make sure she has all the information she needs and to make sure from a security perspective that she can make a trip wherever it is safely and securely. The speaker decides what she's going to do, where she's going to go, what she's going to say when she's on the ground. We simply provided her information and context so that she could make decisions about her travel.
And that was National Security Council spokesman John Kirby speaking with Bloomberg's Joe Matthew, Caroline Hyde, and Taylor Riggs ahead of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's expected visit to Taiwan today. You can catch the full interview on Bloomberg.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, we're looking at legal issues around groundbreaking drugs that prevent HIV infection. The medicine may be harder to get if a prominent Texas lawyer wins a lawsuit that pits his client's religious beliefs against free and nationwide access to the drugs. Jonathan Mitchell, the former Republican Solicitor General of Texas, is something of a hero to conservatives in the state. He was the lawyer behind Texas's strict abortion law that used an innovative tactic, allowing private citizens to seek $10,000 bounties on anyone who helps a woman get an abortion. For more on the matter, June Grosso speaks to Bloomberg legal reporter Eric Larson, who recently interviewed Mitchell.
So now he's setting his sights on HIV drugs?
Yeah, there was a hearing in federal court in Fort Worth, Texas, in which he's trying to overturn a provision of the Affordable Care Act for preventive services. So his lawsuit takes aim really at the entire preventive services mechanism that covers a wide range of things from polio vaccines to pre-screenings for pregnant women and children to screenings for cancer, all kinds of preventive services that are covered at no cost under the Affordable Care Act. But in the lawsuit, he takes specific aim at a drug called PrEP, which prevents HIV infection, sort of a groundbreaking drug that was created about a decade ago that has helped reduce the spread of HIV and as of last year has been added to that preventive services list. So he's also taking aim specifically at PrEP under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
Why is he aiming at this drug?
His clients are a few Christian-owned companies and some individuals who are Christian who say that the preventive services provision in the Affordable Care Act, because PrEP is covered in this, they believe that buying a health care plan or offering a health care plan required to cover this drug at no cost makes them complicit in what they say is homosexual behavior and that it violates their religious freedom.
Is Mitchell just a lawyer representing his clients who happen to be conservative Christians, or is he a true believer, I guess?
I would say it's a little bit of both. He seems to be a true believer, clearly, in the conservative cause of reducing sort of the power and the reach of government and things like that. I did not get the impression that he was pushing the particular religious agenda himself. He really did portray it as him taking on these clients who had these beliefs. But it is worth noting that he is working on a lot of these cases that have a similar theme of trying to rein in the reach of protections for the LGBTQ community, particularly after the Supreme Court's landmark Bostock ruling that prohibited discrimination against LGBTQ people. They have several lawsuits pending in other cases that are trying to have a religious carve-out for those in various ways. And he's also affiliated with an organization called America First Legal, which, of course, was set up by some former Trump administration folks like Steve Miller and Mark Meadows, sort of become the conservative answer to the ACLU and filed lawsuits against the Biden administration to wave off these progressive rules and laws.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter Eric Larson speaking with June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg terminal at BLawGo. S&P futures down 31 points this morning. Dow futures down 171 and NASDAQ futures down 130. And the 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 2.54%, yield on the 2-year 2.85%. Our top stories straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.